Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition, so you will not grow weary and lose heart.
What I want to let you all know, first off, is that you are welcome, welcome, welcome in this space that we call worship. Amen. So I know that we're trying to wait for some of you others to get on, but I'm going to continue going with the service. Whether you're here or not, God bless you, and I'm praying for you. Now, what we've been doing is that we've been in Revelations for the last month and a half, maybe 2 months, and we're off to a running start. I think that a lot of things are coming out in this, and I pray that you see yourself in the midst of this lesson so that you may make adjustments to your life. I want to thank God for each and every one of you. And again, you are welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, are there any praise reports? Does anyone have something that happened in their life that was such an event that you knew it couldn't have been nobody but God that brought this off? If you'd like to talk about it in front of everybody, go ahead and disclose it so that we can shout right along with you. Any praise reports this morning? Okay, then we will keep going. Now, the title of our lesson today, we started off a new series of lessons last week. And the series of the lessons was called The Battle of the Christ. And we're talking about Jesus Christ versus the Antichrist. And so with that said, I'm just praying that you all are able to discern the lesson for today. Get all you can out of it, because the week is coming and the enemy is not playing with any of us. So I want you all to relax and get off into this message today. Now, the battle of the Christ today, our lesson title will be discernment. Now, why am I talking about discernment? Because a lot of us don't truly understand discernment. We don't know how to use it or what it is used for. So we must keep our discernment out front. And there are only a few ways to keep that discernment. So we will talk about those today. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this moment, and for this time. Lord, we come before your presence with thanksgiving, and we pray to glorify your name in all that we do, in our image, in the things that we do each and every day, not only for ourselves, but for others as well. And we pray that we walk in your presence, in your spirit, and that you will lead us down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, I invite the Holy Spirit of promise into this lesson today to give us wisdom and your revealed knowledge, that we may see how your word works and affects our daily life. We also pray for those that are not here today, those that are seeking, those that don't know where to go. We pray that in Jesus' mighty name, that he supply somebody, that he raises somebody up somewhere to use their power, their influence, their abilities to come and help and lead those to Christ. These and other blessings we ask in thy son Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen, amen. So I want you all to pay attention today, because discernment is not just something that we use off the cuff or that we talk about. Discernment is powerful, and God gave that to each of us as a gift. But a lot of us don't know we have it. We think this is something that you just ordinarily have. It's not. It's something that God gave us as a gift for us to use for his benefit and for his glory, and also for our, let's say, steps that we make every day, you know, so that we don't make missteps or fall into traps or get caught up in things we should not be caught up in, or that we can't see the enemy coming. And this is most important, because we must at all costs see the enemy coming, because if you don't, you do not know how to prepare. So buckle up. This is going to be a good lesson. I want you all to bring your hats today. We're going to do a little traveling. Bring your boots, because it may get a little bit deep. Amen. All right, let's get started. The sermon today is the Battle of the Christ. Topic, discernment. Now, our reference scripture today, we have a couple of them. The first one is found in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. Now, if you have the Rick H. Carter Ministries app, the Bible is on the app. If you look at the bottom part of the app, you'll see where it says Bible. Click on it. At the middle, right at the top of it, you'll see Old Testament. If you touch where that is, then the New Testament drops down. And you can check New Testament, and you'll see the New Testament scriptures. Over to the right, there are two arrows on the app. Once you get to the scripture, if you press those arrows, the words get bigger. Amen. Now, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 says, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." Amen. That means when Jesus Christ comes to you, you're supposed to be walking in his excellence, in his word. The next scripture is found in Colossians chapter 3, verses 2. Now we're going to use the ESV version of this, of your Bible. Okay, that's Eastern Standard Version of the Bible. And this is what it says. "Set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth." Why are they saying this? They're saying that everything you need is found in heaven. Everything that you may see here on the earth has already happened in heaven, and heaven has your answers. Amen. So good morning to all my dear brothers and sisters today. We are going to explore one of the most vital aspects of our Christian walk, discernment, and how it deeply ties to our ongoing battle of the Christ. We find ourselves in a spiritual conflict, being pulled to the left, being pulled to the right, okay? Not of flesh and blood, but of the truth versus deception, good versus evil, light versus darkness, Christ versus the Antichrist. Discernment is an essential tool for Christians, especially in navigating our personal battles that we face each and every day. It is the ability to distinguish between what comes from God and what does not come from God. But here's the truth. When we lose our focus on God, when we become distracted by the things of the world, our discernment falters because we don't have God in our lives at that moment. Okay? We begin to use our discernment in the wrong ways, for the wrong things, and ultimately for the wrong purpose or purposes. Now, but when we focus our energy on the things of God, as the example that Jesus has set for us in how to live and worship, our discernment sharpens. Now, we will be able to get answers to life questions with the wisdom that comes from the Spirit of God. And I want you to relax in that, knowing that God is all in all. Now, what is discernment? And I know a lot of you are asking that question. Well, let's discuss it. It's for the battle of the focus. And those are the ones that will receive it. First, discernment is a gift from God. It is a direct connection to the Spirit of God. It has its own channel, which is called worship. And submitting to the Spirit of God and rejection of our own knowledge and intent. And this is really hard to do. This is not an easy thing to do, because we've all been taught to, you know, you got to do things for yourself. You have to be in charge. But when it comes to God, the work has already been done for us. And we need to go to Him and find out, you know, what it is that you want us to do in this situation and in that situation. So you have a reason all day long to reach out to God. Now, in the spiritual battle we face, the enemy's greatest strategy is the spirit of distraction. Amen. The enemy does not need to convince us to abandon our connection to God, but his plan is to shift us from relying on God to relying on our own personal knowledge and our own personal intent, the way we want to see it, the way we want it done. That's what we focus to, we move to, we get shifted to. So you got to stay focused and keep your eyes on God. Okay. Our worldly knowledge and our earthly knowledge, okay? Remember, He is God, and we cannot falter to those things because we only see so much. We've only done so much. We can only ask a few people about what to do in this situation, because it's not smart to ask everybody, well, what should we do about this, or how should we handle this? Because some people are not saved. They don't know God. They drink, smoke, cavort, do all kinds of things. Should we be asking them for advice? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Also, our worldly knowledge and earthly knowledge most of the time is what we have been through, not what God knows. And, you know, our lives are limited. We're only after what we need to do, and how do I tackle this, and how do I solve this? That's how we go through life, going from one situation to the next, to the next. You're either coming out of a battle, you're going into a battle, or you're getting ready for one. But you're always battling. So you need to stay with Christ. Stay submitted to God through Christ. Now, when our focus and attention shifts from Christ, it is usually because what? We felt God did not come quick enough. Or He did not come the way we thought He was going to come, or the things weren't the way we thought it should be. So, you really have to watch those things because we can so easily move God out the way and put our own self first and use our own mind and our own intentions and do the way we think it should be. But the word tells us that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. So we can't even begin to think about the ways God would solve this challenge. How he moved me from this place that I'm at into a better place. We look for it to come a certain way, and God does not operate like that. I'm here to tell you that today. If you want something done, you got to do it yourself. That's what we revert to. And then we pick up arms for ourselves and go and get it done. And we could have done this different. We could have done it better. Okay? Because somebody's going to always know a better way to do it. But if we follow God, okay, we begin to rely on our own understanding when we follow ourselves, our own reasoning. And it is backed by our own emotions to guide us through the battles of the Christ. And we know that we're not included in that. We're talking about Jesus Christ or the Antichrist. We're not talking about and yourself. But sometimes we insert ourselves in the middle of the battle and we get pulled from side to side instead of choosing a side to stay with and being faithful to that side. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." What is this telling you? When we don't test the spirit, we're not using our discernment. But this is a call. That's what this scripture is. It's a call to discernment, to make sure that we are not following false teachings and being manipulated and misled by a counterfeit spirit. Now, what do you mean by counterfeit spirit? Well, usually the way that I have seen Satan come at us, he'll start off like God. It'll start off right. But soon after that, the course will change in a different direction. And you say, wait, now this just doesn't sound right. Well, it's probably not, because the enemy is always trying to take God's place, trying to sound like God and be like God. But in the end, his real nature will come forth. And I know a lot of you already know this. When we are misled or we become consumed with solving our own problems by any means necessary, we make a lot of missteps, a lot of mistakes, and some of them that we are sorry for. There are times when we also hurt other people trying to, get the problem solved and walking and stepping on other people's hearts, feelings, and emotions. And we also become vulnerable also to deception because we just want the problem solved and be able to move on. The more we focus on things of this world, there is where we get drawn into our own ambitions as we abandon the word of God. The enemy's tools become sharper. See, when we put that word down, he already knows. Okay, this is the time to move in because we know that confusion is beginning to set in. He then brings other tools in, like fear and doubt. They come in then to help further take you away from God and bring in more confusion. Because the more that you have doubt and confusion is the more that you move away from God and try to figure this out and try to figure that out. But Matthew 7, verse 24. Come on, Bible scholars, let's go. Pay attention because this is going to be important. Matthew 7 and 24 reminds us that when we build our lives on the firm foundation of Jesus' teachings, we are able to withstand the storms of this life. Amen. But without God's discernment, we will miss God's will, his abilities, his insight to see a situation and properly assess it through the word of God. Do you know why the preacher is telling you you need to pray and meditate on the word? Because what you're doing is you're putting it all over you, all in you. You're marinating your heart, mind, okay, and body in the word of God. And your body does not know anything or anybody. It follows your mind. And then there's the soul. What is the soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, your imagination, your emotions, and your intellect. So he works on the soulish part of your body. He works on your mind so that your mind can tell your emotions and the rest of your body, this is it. And your imagination is a big part of everything that you do because he shows you pictures in your mind. And some of us respond and operate off of that. And that's a poor interpretation to be able to handle problems in this life. It should be a first line of what would be a word for that? It should be your first line of looking at things and assessing things when your imagination goes off. Then you test the spirit to see which spirit is this. And you can ask God right then, in the name of Jesus, reveal this spirit to me. Is this your spirit or is this the spirit of Antichrist? And be quiet and listen. Because God will tell you the right thing. When you ask God, nobody can answer for God. Now, others can try, the enemy can always try to jumble the message by answering the same time he thinks God is, and it's going to be a confusing message, but you can ask for clarification, and it always helps to have somebody that you pray with, somebody that's in communion with you, and ask them to pray with you. Okay? And you can also pray again in Jesus' mighty name and get your answer. There are many ways to get to God, but make sure you use one of them. Okay, then our problem of solving tools becomes severely limited. And I brought that out because when we go and walk away from God and begin to think, oh, we know better than God, or let me go and get this done, then it becomes severely limited because God is the creator of the universe and you are just you. Without discernment, our spiritual foundation can easily crumble when life storms come our way. Why? Because without God, you're fighting alone. You don't have no help. You by yourself. Number two, discerning the spirit of truth from the spirit of deception. This is one of the ways that you can do it. Pay attention. The Antichrist works tirelessly to distort the truth of Christ. His goal is not only to oppose Jesus, but to deceive God's people and to set them up and to lead them away and make them begin to question God's method and God's way and God's rule. That's what he wants you to question. And finally, he wants you to abandon God and to follow his false teachings. Now, when we don't focus on the spirit, we lose the sensitivity we need to distinguish truth from error. Our discernment becomes compromised and we start to believe in things that are not from God. Just because it's a little flash in the pan, it shows a little something you do small and it works out. Then you move God aside and you begin to do things for yourself. There are times that we discern a message from God, but we do not know where to put it or how it applies to us. Why do I mention that? Because sometimes we get information from God and we don't know what to do. We just got the information. He gave us a revelation. But He didn't give us the whole situation because somebody else is supposed to come along and bring you the answer. Or guess what? The Bible, let's go to Proverbs 3:5, and I'll explain the rest of it. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, what that means when you only get part of the message, it means that we need further clarification. Because if he does not give you the answer at the time he gave you the revelation, he will send someone else, or maybe a certain situation alerts you to it, or a circumstance that comes up and you have what you call aha moment. Aha, that's it. Okay? That's the answer. So if he gives you a revelation and he did not give you an answer, be patient. Because someone may come along your pathway and begin to say some things they don't know what they're doing. They just talking. And they may give you the answer to what you needed. He said, what you say? Have you been spying on me or something? That's what you begin to ask, because how could they know this was that you needed this answer? But it was God behind the scene doing what he does. And you need to be aware that he does work in that way. Amen. Now in Genesis, Joseph interprets the king's dream in a biblical story in the chapter of Genesis. This is in Genesis, probably the 41st chapter. The narrative is Pharaoh has a troubling dream and that none of his advisors can tell him what the dream means or how to explain it to him. And he called all the wise men of the kingdom, but none of them could answer. Now here Joseph is in prison, falsely in prison, because Potiphar's wife accused him because he would not lay with her. So Joseph is in prison at the time and is summoned to interpret the king's dream. Well, why would they call upon him? Because he had interpreted a couple of other people's dreams while he was in prison. So they sent for him, the cook who was in prison, he interpreted his dream. So when he got to his place, one day the king had a dream and he heard the king and he said, oh, I know who can do it for you. I know who can interpret it. And he had Joseph brought from the prison, had him cleaned up and took him before the king. Now, when the king saw Joseph, he told him about the dream. And Joseph explains that the dream prediction was 7 years of abundance, and following the seventh year, there will be a 7 year famine. And what did Joseph's obedience bring him? It brought him promotion. Just like us, when we obey God, we use his discernment, it brings us promotion. And I'm not talking about all the time promoted at work. Your promotion may be that you got past this or that you may did this and you're rewarded in some kind of way because you don't have this problem anymore. God has given you what you need. You've been promoted. All right. So you need to know promotion comes in many ways. But in this situation, he was promoted to the king's right hand man. He was over everybody in God, in Pharaoh's kingdom, right under Pharaoh. He went from prison to the right hand of the king. But being in tune with God's spirit, we begin to discern what is true and what is false. And the more you read and study your Bible, the easier it is for you to see or to discern. Because God's word will show you. Discern is not just about knowing what is right or wrong. It's about hearing God's voice clearly in every situation you deal with. And so that's why they're saying, pray all day, okay? Because things are coming at you all day. You know, a lot of us get up in the morning, we pray, and when we pray again, when we get ready to go to bed, and we also pray over our lunch. And that's it. We don't pray anymore during the day. And every time you pray, you don't have to get on your knees and and bow your head. You can walk and pray. If you need God right now, he's a right now God. Stay with him. I encourage you right now to keep with him all the day long. When you invite the Holy Spirit into your life in the morning, all the day long, you communicate with him. You don't have to use your audible voice. You can communicate mentally with him. Okay, Lord, what's going on? That's right. Reveal it to me, Lord. Show me what I should do. He might not tell you what the whole problem is, but he may instruct you on what your next step should be. And then when you get there, you ask him, what should your next step be? And what should your next step be? And let him guide you down the path of righteousness for his name's sake, not yours. In Hebrews 5:14, this is what it says. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason are of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, what is he talking about in this scripture? Well, let's break it down. Let's break some bread together. It says, but strong meat belongs to them that are a full age. He's talking about spiritually mature. And those that deal with strong meat, we're talking about those that can understand the word and know what to do. That's strong meat, okay? That's maturity in the spirit. And then it says, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you're able to discern good and evil because you're mature in the word. You're mature in the spirit. God has blessed you and you have listened and you are following. So God can give you meat. He can give you a problem because he know you're going to be able to solve it. He can leave you for a minute because you got the Holy Spirit inside of you. And you also have the word of God. You have your prayers. You have your meditation. You have your sisters and brothers around you or someone that you're in communion with. And when I say communion with, you all pray together. And you can talk to them about a subject and they won't be running around telling all your business, but you will pray with each other and help each other through life. But you'll stay in the spirit. You'll keep each other strong. You'll keep believing in the word of God and the things of God. Now, by constantly submitting ourselves to God's word and allowing the Holy Spirit to navigate for us, we meet up directly with discernment, the power of discernment. Because you can see somebody coming. You know they ain't up to no good. You can see the way they got their head shaped, the way they got their head bent, the way their mouth is shaped. They finna come up with some mess. But that's discernment. You got to be able to see it. Some of you use your discernment in the wrong way. You see a woman and you're looking at her and you undressing that lady. But you're using the power of discernment in the wrong way. There are ladies that look at a man and look at his muscles and watch his zipper and all of that. And guess what? You're using your discernment powers in the wrong way. Look at the things of life and the things of God. The things that you face every day. You face them with Christ, the Holy Spirit, the word of God. That's your discernment. That helps you be able to see what's God and what's not God. And I know I'm being a little raw right now, but I need to really show you a clearer picture of how we use our discernment powers. Yes, we use it the wrong way. All right? Pay attention. Sometimes you look at somebody and you want to know about their life. You want to know what they're doing. You're trying to use your powers of discernment to be able to see. You ask somebody about them, they give you a few things, then you begin to put a picture together. That's your discernment powers. But be careful that you use them for the good of Christ and for your own life. A lot of this stuff is not even your own business. Stay in your lane. Do what God has asked you to do because there are other things that are coming and you need your own discernment, your own powers used in that way, that gift that God gave you in that way, so that you grow and prosper. Psalms 25 and 14. I want you to pay attention to this scripture. It says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. They're talking about his truths, his will, okay? His favor. That's what he means by his covenant. The covenant are the things that he has promised you through the word. That's his covenant. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And the word says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalms 1:1. Read it. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm out of time for the day. Heavenly Father, I pray that this word met their discernment, their powers of discernment, and that they began to open their spiritual eyes to what true discernment is all about. We thank you for your word and your promises today, Father, that they taught us things, that through our imagination we saw things in and about our own lives, and that we can bring correction to ourselves, and that will give us direction for our life toward the Spirit of God and using Christ as a vehicle to flow in. We thank you that Christ and the Word are the same. We thank you that you supply all of our needs and above our needs. And we thank you for all things in heaven and in the earth. Praise your name, Lord, for thy name is great, and great is thy faithfulness. Praise your holy name today. Lord, we pray for the sick, the shut in, the homeless, the hungry, the elderly, the widow, the little children, Lord, that they too may be abundantly supplied by your word. Father, these and other blessings that we ask in thy son Jesus' name, we pray today. Amen and amen. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, we give glory, honor, and thanks to him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb of God forever. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, we worship you. Amen. Amen to the Father. Amen to the Son. Amen to the Holy Spirit of promise. Thank you, Father. Amen. I pray that you enjoyed that lesson. We're going to continue on next week. Our lesson will be the battle of the Christ. Number 3, how to access the power. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So look, I want you all to really focus also on giving. Today, we do need some blessings. We are trying to finish up many things like the websites. We've got some other social media sites we need to update and upgrade. And we also enjoy giving to the poor. We need to do all we can for those who had it not, those who cannot, those who don't know where to go and what to do. We need to bless them too. So make sure that you put some funds into the ministry. All right, now as we leave today, on the screen will be how you can give. And I want you to give from the heart. Amen. May God bless you.
Amen.
May God keep you. Amen. We'll see you next week. Oh, well, no, wait a minute. We'll see you Wednesday night, Bible study. All right, we'll see you then. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.